I'm a truck driver, and I work for a company that finds me deliveries to do. They schedule everything with all the other companies, and I just pick up and deliver whatever and whenever I'm told. It can get pretty stressful sometimes when I get booked for a lot of shorter deliveries back to back, but this one was a long cross-country delivery, so I was looking forward to just driving and not worrying too much about anything else. I was heading from the West Coast to the East Coast and was on my second full day. I was planning on driving from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. I'm not too picky on where I sleep. I usually just pull off at the nearest truck stop, so there was no need to plan exactly what town to pull off in. Around 9 p.m, I made my last stop for the night at a small gas station. I filled up the tank and got some off-brand caffeinated drink to try out, then got back in the truck and pulled out. Now I just had 3 more hours to go, and with the roads being a lot more clear, it shouldn't be too bad. I turned on some country music and just stared at the road, mostly spacing out or thinking about whatever came to mind. Then, I want to say it was around 11 p.m, a sudden scratchy noise startled me out of my head. It was the radio. I had it on the same channel as other truckers, which we often use to chat while driving, though usually that's only during the day. I can't remember the last time someone was talking through it at night. I looked in my mirrors and didn't see any nearby trucks, and there was nobody in front of me either. Before I could grab the walkie though, the scratchy noise came back, and there was a quick instant where I could hear a voice. It was only a split second, but it sounded like they were either saying hello or help before it cut out again. There's obviously a big difference between the two, so I quickly grabbed the radio and asked if someone needed something. I waited for a while, holding the radio and listening to the soft buzzing noise coming from it. There was something unnerving building up inside of me as I continued to wait and still got no response. But then my headlights lit up something on the road ahead. I slowed down, and once I saw that it wasn't moving, I pulled off to the side and stopped. There was a semi-truck parked right in the middle of this one-lane highway. I knew this had to be the one I heard through the radio, as there were no other trucks out here. The way it was dangerously parked on the road was concerning, and I knew something was wrong. I thought maybe they had a sudden heart attack or stroke or something. I don't know, it sounds kind of crazy, but that would have explained the sudden stop and call for help. I stepped out and started walking up to it. The whole road was quiet, with only the sound of the grass rustling in the wind from the endless fields on either side of the highway. I called out a few times as I hurried up, but never got a response. Then I got up to the door, which was open, and looked inside. My heart sank, and I could feel the fear creeping up inside of me. No one was in the truck. There was a jacket slung over the passenger seat, and a half-empty coffee cup in one of the cup holders, and the radio was dangling from the ceiling, but no signs of anything having happened. It was like the driver just vanished. I quickly stepped back down onto the road and looked in all directions. The sound of the grass swaying in the wind suddenly became extremely eerie. My heart was pounding, and I made the decision to not risk staying past my welcome. I hurried back to my truck and drove off, notifying the police as I did. They found the truck still there, parked in the middle of the road, and still no signs of the driver anywhere. After investigating, they figured out who was driving it and reported him as missing. They also found evidence of 3 other vehicles having been parked in the grass right by the spot the semi was at, though obviously I never saw them, and there was no way to know exactly why they were there. The search was pretty extensive for the missing driver, but they never found even a clue as to where he is, so it's very unlikely he'll ever be seen again. But whatever happened to that other trucker very well could have been me had I been the first to arrive at that area. Since then, I've been hyper aware of any sketchy situations and hope to never be involved in something like that again. I was en route for an overnight delivery. Where I was driving, it was mostly empty roads. The only other people that were on the roads at this time of night were other delivery drivers. The night was going well though, nothing interesting for the first several hours. Around 2 a.m, I stopped at a truck station to fill up and use the restroom, as the next little bit was going to be a long stretch through dense forest roads with very few places to stop at, if any. As I was driving along, and just about an hour or so after my last stop, I randomly saw something ahead. I only had a few seconds to get a good look before passing by, but there was a person standing on the side of the road. Again, if I wasn't already clear, there was absolutely nothing but dense, unpopulated forest with no other roads or anything. So seeing a person standing out here without a car anywhere in sight was really strange. In the few seconds I looked at them though, they never waved at me, or yelled for help, or tried to get my attention in any way. I couldn't stop thinking about it as I drove for another mile before I suddenly saw another person. Standing on the side of the road, there was a woman this time. She was wearing ripped jeans and a red sweatshirt, and as I passed by, we made eye contact, and she just stared at me. No smile, no frown, just an empty face. It was extremely disturbing, enough to make me literally shiver. I looked in the mirror after passing them and could see their head follow my truck before they were covered up by the dark. When I looked back at the road though, my heart almost stopped and I slammed on the brakes. I could feel the whole weight of the semi pushing forward as I abruptly came to a stop. Right in the center of the road, there was a body. It was laying flat across the street, though I couldn't tell if they were alive or not. They weren't moving, but I also didn't see any signs of an accident. Like there was nothing else on the road, and the way that they were positioned, it didn't look like a car had hit them, or anything like that. I felt like I needed to check if they were okay, but also I had this really bad feeling about whatever this was. I mean, seeing three people out here in just the span of a mile is a crazy coincidence. I looked around at the forest covering either side of me, and this sense I had only continued to grow. After being stopped for a whole minute, I put it back in drive and carefully drove around the body. My heart was still racing, and when I finally got around them and started back on the road, I checked my mirrors one last time. The body wasn't on the ground anymore. They were standing up and watching me drive away. My eyes were peeled for the rest of that drive as I was genuinely terrified. I didn't see any more people along the road though. I think that it was a setup of some kind. They were probably trying to get me to stop and check on them, but clearly they weren't dead or injured, so what they would have done, I really don't know. Seeing those other people before though, there's no saying how many others could have been around, or even literally sitting in the forest right next to me, just waiting for me to get out of my truck. Even just rethinking about that night still creeps me out. I was driving from Omaha, Nebraska to Fargo, North Dakota. It's actually a regular route for me that I do a couple times a month. Personally, I love it. The whole drive is through flat farmland that's super easy to drive through, and there's barely any traffic to deal with. Doing the route so often, I always took the same stops. The halfway point that I'd always stop to sleep at was a truck stop that sat in between two really small towns in South Dakota. This truck stop was abnormally large, and since there were very few truckers taking this route, it was almost always empty. Maybe two or three other trucks, and that's it. Anyway, the first day of driving went well, and I'd arrived at this truck stop just after 1 a.m., but something was immediately wrong. The building that was there was completely boarded up, and all the gas pumps looked like they were ripped out of the ground, and all the lights that should have been lighting up the lot were off. It had been shut down and abandoned. I couldn't say I was surprised, but this really threw off my routine, and now I either had to drive for another hour or try sleeping at this dark, abandoned lot. Now, on any other day, I probably would have just said screw it and slept there. But for some reason this night, I didn't even consider it. I immediately pulled back onto the highway and continued driving, only to quickly regret my decision as I struggled to keep my eyes open. I made it a very unimpressive 15 more minutes before pulling onto the gravel on the side of the road and trying to slap myself back awake. While I was there, I looked out the windows. I was in the middle of nowhere, and honestly, I knew this was a bad idea, but I figured there was no point in dangerously driving while sleepy and tired, when I could just sleep here. I know other truckers did it all the time, so I felt comfortable enough to try it. I shut off the engine and locked the doors, then put my window covers up and leaned the seat back. Maybe I underestimated how comfortable I was, because my body just wouldn't allow me to fall asleep. I laid there for probably 20 minutes, just waiting to drift off, and that's when I heard something. It was a small squeak, like from an old car braking somewhere behind my trailer. I leaned forward and turned my head to listen. Very faintly, there was the sound of a car's engine humming. I was really confused, but hoped that it was just a police car checking up on me. I took down the window shade and looked at the side mirror. I couldn't tell exactly what kind of car it was, but it definitely wasn't a cop car. I only had a few seconds to think through things before I heard someone call out. They just said hey, but it terrified me. Thinking I had to leave, I turned the truck on. These things aren't exactly fast to start up, and as soon as they heard the engine start going, I could hear their footsteps start sprinting. They got right up to the passenger door and started aggressively pulling on the handle. Just as I started moving, they jumped up and held on to the door as they stared at me through the window. This guy looked like he was early 40s, with a long, bushy white and brown beard, and had a dark hoodie over his head. He banged on the window as I continued to pull onto the highway, and right when I started to gain some speed, he shattered the window. My eyes shot over at the broken glass, but outside the door, the man was gone. In the mirror, I saw him rolling on the road, either from jumping off or losing his grip. I continued picking up my speed until I could no longer see him or his car. Thankfully, he didn't seem to try to chase me. I called the cops, but they were so far away that by the time they got there, it had already been 35 minutes, and the only thing left at the scene were the shards of glass on the road. Had that guy been a few seconds earlier to breaking the window, he probably would have had enough time to reach in and open the door, and I can only imagine what would have happened next. Here's a lesson to everyone to leave as soon as you feel something is wrong. because every second could be the difference between getting away or never getting away. My name is Leo, and I work for a pizza shop in my small town. I don't do deliveries or anything, but I do mostly everything there is to do inside the shop. I make pizzas, organize the stations, clean, and get all the closing tasks done every night before I leave. My interactions with customers is usually pretty minimal, since we have a few high school kids to take orders and everything, but they're only scheduled until 11 on weekdays. The shop closes at 12:30, so any orders or customers that come in after that, I have to take care of. This was a regular Monday shift. Everything went smoothly for the most part, and at 11 my coworker left, so it was just me to close up. It's usually really slow, so I started the cleanup process. About a half hour before closing, a call came in. Praying it wasn't for a last minute order, I picked up the phone. I said my generic "thanks for calling, how can I help you" line, and right after I finished, there was a quiet pause. Then they hung up. I put the phone down and said a few choice words, thinking it was a prank call from a couple immature kids. I went back to the kitchen where I was cleaning, but not even 30 seconds later, I heard the bell ring by the door. The timing was annoying, but I put everything back down and walked back to the front. A guy was now standing at the counter. He had a heavy coat on and a black beanie over his shaggy hair. His eyes were what really put me off, though. He had dark circles and bags, like he hadn't slept in days, yet his eyes were wide open.
How can I help you?"
I said, standing a couple feet from the counter.
"I'd like to place an order right now."
The way he said it was odd, and it very obviously told me that something was wrong with him. I said okay and asked what he wanted, but it almost seemed like he wasn't expecting me to say that. His eyes just continued to hold this disturbing stare at me as he struggled to respond. I looked away out of uncomfort, but my eyes fell on his hand that was partially out of his jacket pocket. He was holding a knife, like a typical kitchen knife. I think he was trying to hide it, but I could see the handle in his hand, and part of the blade was sticking out of his pocket. I felt my stomach drop and blood rush from my face, almost like I was gonna faint. I looked back up, and his eyes were still staring at me, but his face was stiff and emotionless. The sound of the door opening made both of us jump, and both of us looked over. It was some other random customer walking into the shop, and they immediately seemed to realize something was wrong. They stopped in place, stumbling over a few words, before the guy by the register suddenly walked past him and out the door. I used the phone to call 911 and tried to explain to the other customer what had happened. We also watched out the window as the guy got into his car and sped out of the parking lot. That was the last we saw of him, though. What I think happened was he parked outside the shop and watched in the window as he called us. Once he saw that it was me answering the phone, I guess he knew I was alone, so that's when he walked in. If not for the random customer walking inside in that moment, I don't know what would have happened. He was clearly insane and armed with a kitchen knife, so it couldn't have been good. Since then, I still haven't seen him come back, and I really hope I never do.
I've spent the past few months holed up in the house with all the doors locked. It's because anytime I go out, I end up passing a Wendy's. and I get anxious whenever I see one of those restaurants. It takes me back to the most horrifying night of my life. It all started on a normal lunch rush at Wendy's. I was working the register, taking orders from dozens of rude customers. They all blended together after a while, but there was one woman who stood out. She was an old lady with wrinkled, sagging skin. Her hair was bright red and tied into two pigtails, just like the Wendy's mascot. She even wore the striped blue dress that Wendy wore. I thought it was weird that she was dressed like this, especially since she was old, but I tried to avoid judging customers. What can I get you?
You're perfect. You're exactly what I need.
I'm sorry?
The Colonel. You're the Colonel.
Excuse me?
Colonel Sanders. You look just like him.
Oh, the KFC mascot. I chuckled awkwardly. I was an older guy with white hair and a matching mustache, but I thought that was where the resemblance ended. Thanks. What can I get started for you? Without responding, the fake Wendy turned and ran out the door. She had a surprising pep in her step for an old lady. The whole interaction was weird, but I put it in the back of my mind since we were so busy. A few hours later, she stormed back into the restaurant. Only this time, she had a white suit with her. It was a replica of Colonel Sanders' outfit. She stormed up to my register with bulging eyes.
Here, put it on. It's perfect.
She shoved the suit over the counter, forcing it against my chest so hard I stumbled backward. Whoa, calm down, ma'am.
Put it on now! It's perfect!
Her shriek pierced the quiet restaurant. Customers turned around to look at us. Ma'am, please back up!
Put it on now!
My manager stormed out of his office.
What's going on here?
I wheeled around and told him that this creepy old lady was harassing me. I had a lot of problems with my manager, but one good thing about him was that he didn't take nonsense from customers. He immediately yelled at the creep to get out of the restaurant.
Not without the Colonel!
It freaked me out how she ignored my name tag and referred to me as the Colonel. My manager called the cops, and they came and escorted the lady out of the store. She didn't go easy. They had to drag her out of the store, kicking and screaming. She kept looking at me and yelling Colonel over and over. Finally, the police wrangled her out of the restaurant. I thought that'd be the last time I'd ever see her. God, was I wrong. My next shift, 2 days later, was the third shift. I normally didn't work that late, but my manager asked me to work with him that night as a favor. And since he'd gotten rid of that creepy lady for me, I figured I owed him one. The restaurant had a sinister vibe as I drove up to it. A thin fog had coasted in, and the bright neon lights from the sign barely chased off the darkness. Only one other car was in the parking lot. My boss's. I felt my hands get slick with sweat. I hated being out at night. I wanted to go back home, but I'd made a promise. I sighed and slipped out of my car. The Wendy's was dark as I walked in. The overhead lights were turned off. The only light came from the glowing menu screens behind the counter. I called out my manager's name but got no response. I knew he had to be there. I could hear the stove hissing and the fryers bubbling. Maybe he was just trying to conserve power. I swallowed my fear and stepped behind the counter, pushing the kitchen door open. I'll never forget what I saw. My manager was tied to a chair. Duct tape covered his mouth. His face was painted white, with red around the eyes and mouth. A red wig was shoved on his head, and he'd been crammed in a yellow jumpsuit. He looked like Ronald McDonald, but his eyes bugged out of his head in panic. The old lady stepped forward from the dark. She was still in her Wendy's costume. Her bony hand was wrapped tightly around a long kitchen knife.
Colonel Sanders, you're here.
My heart was hammering in my chest. I wanted to bolt, but I'd seen the old lady run, and she was just as fast as me. What do you want?
I need you, Colonel. You're one of the only ones I'm missing.
She took slow steps forward, getting closer and closer to me. I had no idea what this lady was talking about, but I didn't want to end up tied to a chair dressed as Colonel Sanders. I turned on my heels and ran. Before I could get to the door, That psycho threw the knife at me. It grazed my arm, slashing into my skin and sending hot pain searing through my body. I scream, freezing in place and clutching my wound. Warm blood wet my fingers. I wheeled around. That crazy lady was shuffling towards me with that stupid white suit.
If I get you, I'm one step closer to a complete collection.
Get away from me, lady! I'm warning you!
She wouldn't listen. She just kept inching towards me with that horrible grin. I was always told to never lay hands on a woman. But I knew this lady was going to hurt me if I didn't do something. I reared back my arm and punched her as hard as I could. My fist connected with her wrinkly skin, sending her flying backward. She let out a feeble yelp and smashed against the floor. Her head smacked against the black and white tile. Her eyes stared up at the ceiling blankly. A pool of blood began to form around her head, soaking her pigtails. I couldn't believe what I'd just done. I wanted to scream and run away, but I forced myself to untie my manager and call the cops. They came over and reviewed the security footage and determined that I'd been acting in self-defense. I didn't think it could get any more horrifying, but when the police searched her house, they found more bodies, and all of them had been dressed up as fast food mascots. The old lady had been going around and killing people to assemble a sick collection of corpses dressed as restaurant characters. I know she's dead now.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
But I've shaved my mustache and dyed my hair black just in case. Every night I have nightmares where she comes back to life and finds me again. Only those times, I don't escape her.